Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Joshua chapter 5, here it is. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeah Haraloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they'd come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way after they'd come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Now the Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children, whom he raised up in their place, that Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. When the circumcising of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, and so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day." Israel were encamped at Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And the man said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Let's pray. Lord, enter into this moment. Work mightily in our hearts and in our lives. Please, God, do that work that only you can do. That work where we don't just hear with our ears, but we hear with our hearts. Please do that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Into enemy territory, behind enemy lines. That's kind of where I want to think about a little bit today, behind enemy lines. When I think about being behind enemy lines or on enemy territory, I think of like going to many of you, your like mother-in-law's place or something. You know what I'm saying? Like behind enemy lines. Has anybody got that mother-in-law that you're just like, you know, that's a little rough. I'm kidding. Man, okay, it's just hot or come on. You got to be with me for a little bit here, folks, or something. Man, when I think about being behind enemy lines, I personally don't think of my mother-in-law. I actually think about the game Capture the Flag. You ever play that game, Capture the Flag? Yeah, right? There's a line. There's two teams. There's a flag on each side. And from this team, you're trying to go across into the enemy side to grab their flag and get it back to your side safely, right? That's how the game is, I mean, quite honestly, played. And it's a really interesting game. I've played it a bunch. And what amazes me the most about that game, especially when you play it at night, is how freaky it gets when you cross the line. Like when you're on your side, not that big of a deal, right? Like the only thing you have to worry about when you're on your side is if they're grabbing your flag and coming back, then you got to tag them. That's the only thing you have to worry about. But as soon as you cross that line, you gotta be watching, right? You gotta be looking because they could come and tag you. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. One of you played the game Capture the Flag. Stick with me. So literally, this game, you cross the enemy, you cross into enemy territory, and instantly it kind of just changes the way you have to play the game. You can't be on the defense. Like, you can't be, like, thinking, oh, yeah, I'm safe, because at any minute, somebody could come up and tag you. And that's exactly what's going on here in this text, okay? We're kind of doing our series, Joshua. We've been following this guy named Joshua around for a while. And Joshua and the Israelites have been an incredible, just kind of following them has been really amazing. But what happened just before our text today is they actually walked across dry ground through the Jordan River into enemy territory. Okay, in chapter 4, they had been in basically just to the east of the Jordan River. And when they're to the east of the Jordan River, they're safe. The enemy, seven nations specifically, all of the Ittites, tight things, okay, if you've been with us the past couple weeks, you know what I'm talking about. There's seven nations on the other side, along with dozens of other kings who rule independent cities, and all of these guys are ready for war. They're all super, like, army, military people, right? Okay? And so the Jordan River is this safety line. When they're on this side, all is good. As soon as we go across, we got to start living and working differently. That's just going to be the reality. And so in chapter 4, they literally cross the Jordan River. We haven't really talked about this. I'm kind of going fast here through this series. But they literally cross the Jordan River. The Jordan River comes crashing down, just like their parents had gone through the Red Sea. They get to go through the Jordan River on dry ground. The Jordan River comes crashing down, and now they're on the other side of the line. They're in literally enemy territory. They're in enemy territory. They got the Jordan River to their back, seven nations plus dozens of kings in front of them, of independent city-states, and they're a bunch of people who pretty much work at McDonald's. Remember this? Remember this a couple weeks ago when I talked about that? Like, they're not the warrior, crazy warrior people. They're just kind of regular folks. I mean, they got some military guys, yes, but they're not like the crazies of this area. They're not the giants. They're not the studs of the area. They don't bring that. And so they literally are in enemy territory, and they're backed up against the Jordan River, and they just did it to themselves. They just did it to themselves. And today what I want to look at is three things. Three things really quick. Here they are. We're going to talk about surrender. We're going to talk about remember, and we're going to talk about commander. Do we got those, Lyle, up here? Yeah, surrender, remember, commander. That's what this text talks about. As I was looking at that, I was just like, boom, 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 boom. There it is. That's what this is talking about. And listen, the reason this is going to be so important is because you and I are in enemy territory. Do you realize that? We're behind enemy lines. We are too. Now, I don't know about you, but like for some of you, maybe you've literally been like behind enemy lines in military or something, and I don't know if that's you or not. I've never done that. But as we look at Scripture, as we look at God's Word, like all over the place, we see that Satan, demonic, spiritual forces of evil are against us around every corner. Peter himself, in 1 Peter, he says, to the elect exiles, to those who are in exile, to those who are behind the enemy lines, Satan prowls around like a roaring lion. He's the great liar. He's the great deceiver. He literally is working against us all the time. We are behind enemy lines. Now, you know, you live your lives pretty good. You live maybe in a nice little house, so it doesn't feel like anybody's blowing you up. Till your spouse comes and says something that rocks your world. Till you get a phone call that something just went down. Till you look at the bank account. Until and all of a sudden you start to realize, no, we're behind enemy lines, and Satan is at war against you. I think of Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God, for your struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm, working against you. We're behind enemy lines. And so as we learn from Joshua and the Israelites here, I really think it's the exact same stuff for us. First word is surrender. Notice what happens. This is what I love preaching on Father's Day. I'm telling you, I've been thinking about this for months. I've been thinking about this for months. You think I'm joking. Check this out. Joshua chapter 5, verse 3. Check this out. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons. I love that. We got to talk about that on Father's Day. Bunch of dudes getting circumcised. Here we go, baby. You can teach your kids this stuff, whatever you want to do. I'm not going to get too detailed here today, okay? But we had to. What's the first thing God does? What's the first thing God has the people of Israel do in enemy territory? He drops them to their knees, baby. There are so many YouTube videos I'd love to show you right now, but I just can't. I couldn't throw it up there. But you know what I'm talking about, America's Funniest Home Videos or something? Kids just kicking the balls and stuff. The soccer balls and stuff, right? And, you know, up into dad. And, like, it's just, oh, gosh. And you go down, right? Right? Come on, this is the stuff we got to be preaching on Father's Day. But it's really true. What's the first thing God has the Israelites do in enemy territory? He drops them to their knees. He has surgery done on them. Now, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. That does not happen by chance. You do not take your Marines behind enemy lines to simply incapacitate them. You don't do that. You want your guys to be ready to go, right? You want them to be ready to rock and roll. We got stuff to do. We got people to take on. We got some real work to have happen here. And the first thing God says, as soon as they cross the Jordan River, as soon as they're in, he could have had it done before. They were safe on the other side. He makes them get into enemy territory before he says, and now I want you to do this. And he drops them to their knees. Oh, man, come on. Come on. If we were in some churches, you'd want me to go long. You'd want me to preach. You get that? Enemy territory. God, listen, I've touched on this a little bit this series. God wants us down so that we can look up to see what's most important. We see this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. And I touched on this. Joshua, we find actually down. Because what's the first thing God says? Arise. Moses just dies. Joshua's down. And see, one of the things God wants to do with the people of Israel, Joshua's learned to be down, but now he needs to teach the people to be down. And the best way to make that happen is to begin to put you into situations where you can't operate on your own strength. The nations are too powerful. The kings are too powerful. The battles are going to be too big. And so the first thing I want you to do is not draw your sword out and start sharpening that baby. The first thing I want you to do is have surgery done. A surgery that'll put you down. A surgery that'll put you on your knees. Surrender. Surrender. This is the hardest thing for today. For today, especially as I was thinking about you guys a little bit today, just men. This is one of the hardest things for us, isn't it? One of the hardest things for us is to actually surrender. Because we are taught so many different aspects of what it means to be a man from our culture. And we see this stuff all over the place. I mean, all the way from like the beard, right? So check this out. Look at this. Have you guys seen this? I don't know how many of you guys have. There was one, then there was two blades, then there was three blades. And there was four blades. I honestly don't even know if that's true or not. I don't know. But I just searched. They do sell a seven-bladed one. I did find that. Seven-bladed Gillette something something, right? I mean, we're taught all over the place what it means to be a man. Here, you need seven blades. You need 10 blades. You need four blades. You need three blades. You need this. You need this. You need this. You need this truck. You need this thing. You need this, your family to look this way. You need to be this. You need to be this. You need all over the place. You need to have a chainsaw. You need to be a stud. You need to be this height. You need... all over. What does it mean to be a man of God? Listen, listen to me. If you want to lead your family well, you want to provide for your family, you want to make good decisions through life as a man, you want to retire in a meaningful way, get down on your knees. What does it look like to be a man of God? The first place we find time after time after time is God putting men down. God is not our puppy. We treat God as if he's like a little puppy. Right? We're the master. We like to keep God on a leash. So we can say when somebody comes to our house and says, do you believe in God? We can say, of course I believe in God. No, of course I believe in God. But we keep him on a nice tight leash. God is here by our side. We're connected to him. We like that. And when we need him, he's right there. We take him for nice little cute walks. Bump, 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 bump. God is always trying to get us to understand he's the master in the relationship. You're down. You look up to what's most important. I'm God. You're not. That is hard for us guys, isn't it? Because there's something in us as even men. We want to provide. I want to do. I want to make stuff happen. Let me dig the hole, right? Let me cut the tree down. Boom, boom, boom. I'll do it, right? And I get that. I really do. But when it comes to the most important things in your life, especially your relationship with God, the place, the best place to be is down. 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 In enemy territory. Look at James. Look at James chapter 4. Verse 7. How do you deal with Satan? How do you deal with real warfare? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. Submission. Surrender. Down. All over Scripture you find this happen. I think of Acts, the conversion of Saul. What's the first thing when Saul, who's this prideful son of a gun, right, he's walking around on his horse and I'm a really religious person. The first thing God does is knock him off his donkey. Onto his donkey. See that? I think we have that. Don't we have Acts? Let me see. Yeah, Acts right here. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice. I mean, all over the place, you see God getting people down, down. I know you think you have it all figured out. I know you think you're the Mac Daddy Caddy. I know you think all this. Down, down. I want to get you down so you can start to really understand how important I really am. Because I'm God. I'm God. God's always teaching us this stuff. Surrender. Surrender. And listen, this is not, as I think about circumcision, sorry, Lyle, I screwed you up there, but I think of circumcision of the heart. Look at the first little bit of Jeremiah 4:4 here. This, God has not been concerned about the circumcision of the flesh. He's concerned about our hearts. Look at this, circumcise yourselves, Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts. Now, that's kind of weird and odd sounding, but just let it go for a second. What is he saying? He's saying your heart needs cut. Your heart needs cut. Your heart needs just, I want your heart. I mean, we don't have time to get into all the details of circumcision and all of what God is doing through that covenant and stuff like that. It's good stuff. But ultimately, what does God really want? He wants your heart. And you men today, he wants your heart. You women today, he wants your heart. You kids today, he wants your heart to surrender to him. To surrender it all to him. Okay, that's my first word, surrender. I love what Pat did. Pat comes up here and says, I'm a broken dude. I'm a sinner. I am in need of washing and cleansing. Surrender. A giving up behind enemy lines. And that's what we do, folks. We do this all the time. We get into the enemy territory, and we start to think, okay, God, we've been wandering around for 38 years. We're kind of sick of that. Now some real work needs to start. So, God, you get behind me, and we'll go take the hill. And God says, no. I know you've been waiting a long time for this, and we finally crossed the Jordan River, and we're going to go get some stuff done. But what you don't understand is I'm the one who's going to do that work. And without me, you're screwed. Okay? Surrender, first thing. Second thing, these next two go a little faster, so I'm going to quick keep going. I'd love to. Remember, what's the first thing after circumcision that they do? They do this. Check this out. Chapter 5, verse 10. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. We don't have time to get into it because you all voted against me. But listen, listen, they kept the Passover. As far as we can tell, they do not keep the Passover as they wander around the desert. The last time would have been about 38 years earlier at Sinai. That's as far as we can tell. We don't know if they kept the Passover as they're wandering around the desert or not. But here, they get to the other side, and they celebrate the Passover. Now, the Passover was all about God bringing them out of Egypt. God saving his people through the blood of the Lamb. And yet again here, they take a lamb, they kill the lamb, and again they remember, oh yeah, God saved our people from the enemy of the Egyptians. He got us out. And here we are facing our enemy, and the first thing God wants them to do is remember. Remember how I've taken care of you. Remember what I've done for you. I want to ask you a question. I've asked you this before. If you've been part of our church for a long time, you've heard this. But let me ask you, have you forgotten? Do you too quickly forget what God has done for you? I love the Apostle Peter when he says here, look at what he says here, Peter. He says this, therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Peter thinks he's going to die here soon, and he's writing this letter. He says, therefore I intend to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, his death, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. I love that because he's saying, I'm talking to people who kind of know what's up. And in this room today, there's people who know. You've heard the stories. You got it kind of all figured out, blah, 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 blah. You and I need to be reminded of the things that God has done for us. That's why we keep gathering together. We keep hearing from his word. We keep, yeah, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me more. Not because it's the first time I'm hearing it. Not because I need this new, give me something new. Give me something, kind of some cool message. No, no, no. The same, the same. Jesus went to the cross for me. Jesus went to the cross for you. He loves you like crazy. He paid the price for your sin. He's going to return one day to restore and make all things new. Keep telling me, keep telling me, keep telling me, keep reminding me, keep telling me. Because we so quickly forget. Because we so quickly get sucked up into this ways of this world. And we so quickly are driving around with, oh, new truck. Hey, that truck is cooler than my truck. And that, oh, cool, I want that thing. And, oh, that's cool. Last night, I was looking at AR-10s. I spent probably an hour looking at AR-10s. That's the 308 platform for the AR-15. I was just looking at it. I was like, oh, man, this would be so cool. Isn't that funny how quickly you can get just sucked into this world and somebody's got to, hey, 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 that's not what's most important, buddy. Come back out of there. There's nothing wrong with an AR-10. Go buy one if you have. Fine. But that's not what matters most. Are you kidding me? Remember. Don't forget what God has done for you. He loves you. He has saved you. He's returning to come and get you. To establish himself with you, dwelling with you for all of eternity. Don't forget that. Don't forget. And then the last thing is commander. Last thing is commander here. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And the man said, no. I love that. I love that. Man, that right there I could preach for a while. No. Are you for us or against us? This is interesting. What do we see? We see Joshua down here. Notice that. What does it say? He lifts his eyes. That's kind of interesting to me in this message. He lifts his eyes and he sees a guy. And as far as we don't know exactly who this is, most theologians actually would say this is the pre-incarnate second person of the Trinity. Okay, now if you're kind of lost on that, that's okay. Don't freak out about it. But essentially, this is God. Okay, And I kind of buy into that for a couple reasons. One, if you follow into chapter 6, which is probably the way you should read it, it is Yahweh who's doing the talking there. Second of all, Joshua worships this being, okay, which angels don't usually let that happen, okay? As far as we can tell, this is Yahweh, God, coming in a kind of a special, unique way to Joshua. Now, here's what's fascinating to me. I got to teach this faster than I want to, but here's what's fascinating. Joshua asks him a question. He says, who are you? Are you for us or are you against us? And the guy's answer, no. No. What does that mean? Here's what I kind of tease out as I kind of study, as I've been thinking, as I've been praying about it. It's just like, what are you saying there? I think it's something like this. Joshua here, even in this moment where he's been down, he begins to miss. As he's looking to Jericho, as he's looking to the nations, the battles ahead. Man, we got some real fighting to do here. He asks a question that's basically something like, are you for us? If you're for us, you should probably be back in camp, buddy. If you're against us, I'm about to come and, you know, whoop you. But what he's missing is actually God in his midst. So let me get super fast, and if you've not been following, you're going to get lost here. But let me just ask those of you who've been following this question. Are you so focused on something in life right now that you're missing God in the midst? Are you so focused in on work that you're actually missing how God is working in that? Are you so focused on your family that you're missing God in the midst of that? Are you so focused in on this or this or this or this or this that you're actually missing God? Like, God, you conform. God, you enter into my world. And God's like, no. See, I think that's what's going on here. Like, Joshua sees what he sees. He has his kind of, this is the way it is. And he says, he invites this person into answering that question. Do you fit into it this way or this way? No, I'm doing my own thing. I'm God. You conform to what I'm doing. And then he goes on in chapter 6 to tell us what he's going to do. He's going to give the people of Israel Jericho and all this is going to happen. No. Do you see that? Are you inviting God into your life? Or is God's, come on, let's go on a journey. Puppy dog or puppy dog? Let's go, God. Man, if you followed me, it's awesome. It's good stuff. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I don't know what's going on. I know there's a lot of different things. But I want to tell you today, man, get down. Get down and surrender. Let your heart be cut. Let your heart be cut. You are behind enemy lines, folks, more than you realize. You are behind enemy lines. Surrender. Let the first thing you do be surrender. And then remember all that God has done for you. He loves you. He went to the cross for you. He saved you. He's made incredible promises to you, like, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Hold on to that. Remember that stuff. Don't let go of that. And then let him be the commander. Let him be the commander. Conform to what he's up to. I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. Thank you for this time, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you would do this work in us. Help us to surrender again. Help us to remember all that you've done for us. And we follow you, our great commander. Our great commander. We'll follow you, Jesus. We're right behind you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you always. Forgive us, God, for where we've screwed this up. Help us to submit to you, flee from the devil, and he'll flee. Resist him. We're at war. We're behind enemy lines. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for your deep love for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may He bless you and keep you this next week. In every single thing that you do, go in peace, serve the Lord. You guys are awesome. Have a fantastic week. You guys are awesome. Lord bless you guys. Boom.